Thought Leadership Studio.
You're listening to Thought Leadership Studio, the podcast that helps you master high-level positive mass influence to create distinctive business niches, captivate an audience, grow your following, and change the game by changing the frame with strategic thought leadership.
Thought Leadership Studio.
Welcome back to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm your host, Chris McNeil, strategic thought leadership coach, consultant, author of the upcoming book, Strategic Thought Leadership. Great to have you here. This is episode 100, Strategic Revenue Alignment with Luis Baez. Scaling with Integrity, How to Align Messaging, Teams, and Customer Experience for Sustainable Growth and Thought Leadership Impact. What this episode will do for you is help you discover Luis's revenue enablement journey, how he pivoted from leadership roles at LinkedIn, Google, Uber, and Tesla to coaching and consulting with a focus on uplifting people, systems, and sales performance. Help you understand the power of customer-centric strategy by exploring why listening to the customer's voice is essential and how it can reshape internal alignment, messaging, and revenue growth. Help you learn to align teams around what matters by gaining practical insights on translating tech-heavy or features-based messaging into language that resonates emotionally with your market. Help you avoid the trap of scaling dysfunction by discovering the importance of proper diagnosis before growth and how to spot misalignment in marketing, sales, and operations before it bottlenecks success, and connect strategic thought leadership to revenue growth. Seeing how strategic thought leadership, or STL, applies to sales and ops by leading internal and external audiences with clarity, empathy, and value-driven influence. But before we dive further in, let's take a quick step back. If you're new here, welcome to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm Chris McNeil, strategic thought leadership coach, consultant, and trainer, developer of the thought process of strategic thought leadership, and author of the upcoming book, Strategic Thought Leadership. But I created this podcast to empower forward-thinking leaders like you to break free from conventional, outdated marketing traps that treat people as data points rather than the engaged learners they are. Strategic thought leadership shifts the game by focusing on guiding your audience to new ways of thinking that help them extract more value out of your product or service category, make smarter buying decisions, or maybe even attach new higher values to your category while leading them to also revere your or your organization's special unique benefits or ways of doing things. It's about empowerment, reshaping beliefs, expanding worldviews, and amplifying impact in ways that traditional marketing can't touch. You'll learn to create content that people want to consume and that they keep coming back to you for. So some episodes of this podcast are like workshops to hone your thought leadership skills, and some include interviews of models of excellence, real-world examples of leaders who are either shifting industries, challenging norms, and building true authority, or who maybe offer specialized skills or knowledge relevant to strategic thought leadership. And in this episode, I am joined by Luis Baez, revenue enablement strategist, sales coach, and LinkedIn learning instructor whose work bridges influence, integrity, and implementation. Strategic thought leadership is about guiding others to fresh, well-constructed perspectives with clarity and purpose. Louise applies the principle by helping companies scale not just revenue, but alignment. Connecting sales, ops, and marketing around the customer's actual voice. With experience at Tesla, LinkedIn, Google, and Uber, Louise shares how to avoid scaling dysfunction, how to align messaging to real customer needs, and how to lead with listening. His practical, holistic approach brings strategic thought leadership into revenue strategy, making growth more human and more effective. So without further ado, let's jump right into the interview.
Thought Leadership Studio.
So I'm your host of Thought Leadership Studio, Chris McNeil, and today I'm excited to be speaking with Louise Baez, a revenue enablement strategist and sales coach with experience at LinkedIn, Google, Uber, and Tesla. I think we know some of these company names. Louise now helps business leaders scale their revenues and influence, sharing his expertise at top business schools like Stanford and UC Berkeley. As a published author and LinkedIn learning instructor, his teachings on personalized sales have reached over 20,000 people. Great to have you here, Louise.
Thank you for having me, Chris. I appreciate you.
As we were discussing before we started, I love the positioning of a revenue enablement strategist as well as sales coach. How'd you come up with that term?
Revenue enablement is a practice a career pivot that I made in my corporate career. I reached a point where I realized being chief revenue officer wasn't the ambition. I really enjoyed, as a sales leader, developing my salespeople, and I leaned into coaching and training. What I learned is that there are companies that have entire functions called revenue enablement. And these are folks that really accelerate the velocity to revenues through training, certification, operations, and implementing the right sort of tools. And so I've been in that world for the last 7 years, in the corporate world, being director of global revenue enablement at a startup, but then also as a consultant, stepping into businesses and looking at where we can make magic at that intersection of marketing, sales, and operations.
Ah, so there's a pivot point. So maybe to give the listener a little context on your story and where you're coming from, in case they're not already familiar with you, and we'll be getting familiar through the podcast. Well, what was that pivot point like? What happened that set you on this path?
Yeah, I was a sales leader at Tesla, and I was managing a region across North America, over 100 people on the team. And I thought that that was what I wanted in terms of the way that I envisioned myself as a leader was climbing the ladder and ascending to that level of influence as a chief revenue officer. And so I thought I needed to be a sales manager, step into VP down the line, and then CRO down the line. But when I reached that level of experience, I realized that my secret sauce and the thing that also lit me up was being able to develop those people around me and to uplift their capacity and productivity, and ultimately drive results for the company's bottom line through revenue. And I started to do some of that work on the side. I've always been a side hustler, and so I've always been consulting and coaching. And I started stepping into small businesses and online businesses, and looking at, you know, how do we scale revenues into firmly seven figures and above? What are the operations sort of processes that need to be in place? Who needs to be in place? Sort of trainings that need to be delivered, the skills that need to be up-leveled, right? And I started doing that work, and it really lit me up. So I stepped away from corporate, and I poured myself into that full-time.
So what's your vision for what you're doing now? If you could wave the magic wand and create any results you wanted for the world and for yourself, what would that look like?
I want to see as many business leaders thrive as possible. I know that entrepreneurship is a really lonely process. And as far as mental health goes, the suicide rate is quite high. And so what I want is for people to get the sort of training and support and confidence that they need through the revenue performance and everything else so they have oxygen. Right. There are so many businesses that and business leaders that deserve to thrive. Right. And so I have stepped into this capacity through coaching and consulting on my own and supporting businesses in this vein. I also work with an accelerator that supports women-owned businesses. And I'm also on the advisory board of an AI tech company. And so the way that I sort of put my tentacles out in the world now is all in the vein of helping businesses sustain their revenues.
So helping businesses sustain their revenues. I love what you said about helping entrepreneurs have oxygen, the acknowledgement that it's a lonely path, and sometimes have a coach or a consultant, and I'm in that role sometimes myself. It's like one person that can really open up to, in some cases, and articulate what's going on in their heads and externalize it and get some leverage there. And I love that you work with both the people and the operations side. You know, because if you just work on the people side, but the processes aren't good, they can be
Yes, it needs to be
restricted.
that holistic approach indeed.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, what does it do for you, most importantly, to do this kind of work, to see that these founders, these entrepreneurs have oxygen and to help them thrive?
Yeah, I think about the sort of impact that we could have in this world if everyone had an opportunity at serving and up-leveling. I think about how communities can flourish if they had the sort of customer experiences and they had the supportive businesses and leaders that really upheld their quality of life and their well-being. I also think about, what's happening in the world today and how entrepreneurship can help to solve and alleviate some of the ways that people are being left behind. I think about the sort of engine that we can create economically by bolstering and supporting a community of entrepreneurs, that serve at a certain level and degree. And for me, this vein of work is in line with the sort of superhero that I always wanted to be when I was a kid. Batman was my jam. I wanted to be a Bruce Wayne. I wanted to be that, very discreet billionaire investing in all the things that help the people, right? While also moonlighting as someone that is a total rebel and a
Love it.
technologist because I love the gadgets, right? And that has always been the sort of spirit that drives me is that I want to be that sort of superhero that uses money in this way and creates capital and creates opportunity and community in this way.
Absolutely. And you know, some people diss on capitalism, but it's all about intent, isn't it? There can be enlightened capitalism and using it as a force to do good. And so, what are the leverage points that you look for? Now, I'm thinking about the listener who might have a small business, medium, maybe their C-suite in a large business, or maybe they're starting a business. And do you have the opportunity to pick your brain a little bit as a revenue enablement strategist and sales coach? When you first go into a project, what kind of questions do you ask that might also be helpful to the listener in those situations?
Yeah, when I'm stepping into a project and I am thinking about assessing, what's the state of the state? What is the mindset and the sort of collective energy in the business that is holding the progress back, right?
Read the room a little bit.
And we need to read the room because here's the thing. We can look at numbers all day long. I can run the numbers and I, you know, and you've had the capacity to run the numbers on your end, so you know where they're headed, right? What I need to understand when I'm stepping into a room and I'm working with leaders and stepping into my sort of capacity as the revenue enablement practitioner, the first thing I ask leaders is, when is the last time you spoke to a customer? When is the last time you sold your product or service? And what sort of hesitations did you have to overcome? And where was the friction in onboarding the customer? And making sure that they had success in working with you, right? What I try to diagnose is, do you really have your finger on the pulse, or have you been sitting behind and delegating all the things? Because you need to understand the lifeline of your business, and that is the customer's voice. And if you don't have the capacity to be on calls, then you need to implement a revenue intelligence tool like Gong or Chorus that listens to calls and analyzes them and can feed intelligence to you about the customer's voice. But I need you to tell me, where is the customer's experience falling off? Then we can reverse engineer that from an operational standpoint and sort of plugging all the holes in the processes. And then we can support that process operationally with the right training and certifications and up-leveling of skills of the people through training and coaching.
Love that. And there's nothing that can substitute for firsthand knowledge of the customer transaction point. And when the decision, just my experience, and stop me if you see another perspective to add, please. But when there are decisions being made several hierarchies away from the customer contact, that's pushing distortions into the system that prevent the customer from getting what they want. So do you find that leaders are surprised at the discoveries they make when you start studying this? Do you bring them in to look at it firsthand, in addition to using these tools?
Yeah, I think the first hurdle I've got to overcome is that after I asked that question, a lot of folks are quite upset with themselves, red in the face about the fact that they haven't listened to a customer call in a while and they haven't sat with a customer, right? They're not aware of that voice, right? So I've got to overcome that sort of emotional and mindset sort of blockage immediately by assuring them that there's a solution for this and there's a process and a framework for this. Then I've got to spell out the steps, right? Because typically when I step in, it's like, we're going to do a needs analysis. I need to see what the numbers look like. I need to read any customer reviews that exist online or anywhere else, right? I need to sit with those people who serve the customers in different capacities, whether they are customer support, marketing, or a direct salesperson, right? I need to sort of figure out they're all describing the elephant to me. But one group is describing the trunk. The other group is describing the floppy ear. Another group is, describing the belly, right? And so I've got to assess the elephant from all angles. And then I step in with all the feedback, all the numbers, and everything. Let's develop a strategy. Let's look at getting the kinks out of the customer's experience. Then let's look at getting the messaging aligned between marketing and sales. All right. Then let's look at the delivery of that message across collateral and the way that calls are conducted with customers. Right. And with every layer of the onion, I'm ultimately arriving at a place where all of these teams internally are all speaking to one another in a productive way. Externally, it's a frictionless experience for the customer. And then, as far as the bottom line, seeing the lift in sales and revenue.
Love it. And especially the time and effort you put into the diagnosis before writing the prescription.
Yes.
I think we can
Yes. Yeah.
easily, as consultants and coaches, misprescribe if we haven't done the right level of diagnosis.
Yeah, I think the thing that I come up against is that people want an accelerated diagnosis. And so they want me to step in having known all the things and being ready to, write the prescription. But there needs to be a process of gathering intelligence. And that gathering takes 2 to 4 weeks, truly, if someone is doing it with the right due diligence, taking the time to look at the quantitative and the qualitative inputs before then arriving at a recommendation.
So, as someone who's done similar enough gigs, and I know a lot of our listeners are in that boat too, with the consulting and coaching. Sometimes you work one-on-one, sometimes you go into a company. Do you find resistance to, oh, we already know our customer, oh, we already know this stuff, that kind of resistance? And if you do, how do you deal with it? You filter that out before you take a customer.
Yeah, I think the first thing that we do in an instance like that, it's like, okay, well, first of all, let's admit that there's something that we're missing. Otherwise, I wouldn't be in the room having this conversation with you. Right. And so let's just take a moment, right? And let's just be very honest and let's just take a moment to, when was the last time we surveyed customers? When was the last time we surveyed internally? you know, where are the gaps in data? Where are the gaps in the capacity for listening? Right? Where are the sort of like cliffs in the customer experience as well? And so I always like to pull at assumptions first, right? I always like to pull at what's working as well. And then we come back and reverse engineer from what's not working. Because every business will tell you, every business leader will tell you that they always want more revenues, right? And when I think about solopreneurs and sidepreneurs and, you know, small business owners in particular, you know, I've been talking about navigating spaces with multiple departments. These smaller businesses, one person is every department. And that also requires a bit of compartmentalization when I approach a smaller business and say, okay, so, you know, let's look at what your marketing strategy has been. Let's look at where we need to delegate and hire. And let's look at where the sales and the revenues performance has been. Right? Is it time to bring in someone to support you with business development? Right? Let's get someone in place. Let's train them up on your messaging and how it is that you communicate with the customer. Right? Get someone else filling your calendar so that you have more oxygen to increase capacity in other areas of the business. Right? If you can get someone humming on sales, then you can start to focus more closely on your operations and the customer experience and getting the kinks out of your automations and such. And so there is a way to get this all done. And typically what I like to do is I have this sort of business order of operations. I call it my boo. And I'd like to personify it. It's my boo. I love my boo. I check in with my boo all the time. My boo is my guide. Right? Because what I do in my sort of monthly and quarterly planning and outlook is I compartmentalize everything into four quadrants. Product, because you have to have something to sell. And it needs to make, you need to make sure that it drives whatever promise you have associated with it. Sales, when you have something to sell, you got to have a process for selling it. So let's look at what that looks like. And if you don't have a process, let's get one in place. Then I look at operations. Once you start selling things, you need to have the things in place to fulfill your sales, right? Automations have to fire off, things have to be fulfilled, access have to be granted, etc. When you've got all those things in order and you have checked all those boxes, then I look at marketing. Then we look at the fun stuff because you know your back end is good to go, right? And then we look at running campaigns, jumping on podcasts, looking at, you know, any sort of partnerships or speaking opportunities or anything in that vein that helps to amplify the visibility of your business.
Sure. We certainly don't want to scale up dysfunction. So
yeah,
addressing those issues about serving the customer ahead of doing things to exponentially grow and bring in more customers. How do you gather this information? Do you set up observation situations? Or are you doing it primarily through interviews or a combination, or what else is involved in that?
Yeah, I typically, if I'm stepping into an organization that has some sort of revenue or customer intelligence or a CRM of the sort, I'd like to look at the numbers. Show me your performance over the last 30 days, over the last 90 days, and then over the last 12 months. I'd like to see any sort of trends in the seasonality of your business. I'd like to also, as you give me stories and anecdotes about what happened throughout that year, I want to be able to match that up with the way that it impacted performance in your business so that I can start to deduce, you know, the correlation of things. With the sort of hunches, deductions, and hypotheses, I then go through a round of interviews and you sort of do a exploratory conversation with those folks that are involved in revenue performance, whether they sit in marketing, operations, all the levels of sales, anyone that somehow influences the customer's thinking or the customer's experience. And I really try to understand from their purview, what's working, what's not, where's the disconnect? How do you engage with these other departments? What's the frequency of your engagement? What's the quality of it? Right. And then after I do all of that sort of analysis, then I'm sitting with the numbers, I'm sitting with the anecdotes, I'm looking at the campaigns, sort of assessing the quality of the content and the experience in front of the customer. I'm going in and I'm clicking around, you know, from the customer's point of view, and I'm taking my notes. And I'm coming back to the table and I'm saying, this is your diagnosis. This is where the problem lies. This bone is not connected to that bone. This automation isn't in place or firing off as it should. Also, the customer isn't asked this question at any point in their journey. Therefore, you're missing out on opportunity for upsells, renewals, etc., right? I help them see where the holes are in that entire journey, and then here's your plan. 30, 60, 90 days out, this is how we start to transform everything beyond this sort of assessment that I've done.
Do you see the role of the consultant in these situations as also in implementation and being involved in the plan coming into fully into place? And if so, how do you do that? How do you arrange those situations?
Yeah, I think that if you are in a position where you're invited to collaborate at that level of not only providing the strategic oversight, but actually being involved in implementation, that is a matter of understanding and planning for capacity on your end. Making sure that either you or someone that you can bring on board or subcontract or hire is someone that can help you implement the things, build the things, create the things within the timeline and within the budget that's been negotiated. And that is a matter of really also understanding capacity. Some solopreneurs want to remain solopreneurs. And so their timelines might be elongated when they're working on projects, or they only take one client at a time and therefore want to make sure that they're implementing minimum investment thresholds so it is worth their time. You
Sure.
don't want to burn yourself out by over-delivering and undercharging.
Sure. Absolutely understand. And how, and of course, the theme of this podcast is strategic thought leadership. It's about messaging, it's about leading an audience to embrace new perspectives that, in the context of sales and organizational development, favor the USPs of the company, as well as empowering the audience to get more value out of that category. Now, I'm seeing a lot of threads that you're putting out here that we could dive into on that topic. One of them being, how do you get everybody in the organization on the same sheet in terms of messaging?
Yeah, I think that that starts with a real, again, gathering of intelligence and understanding the customer voice. You don't want to, I've seen so many instances, particularly with tech companies, that's been my foray for like the last almost 2 decades. And when I look at the way that they try to introduce solutions to consumers, their messaging and their positioning is entirely too focused on capabilities, features, memory capacity, and all the sort of jargon that doesn't align with the way that the user is thinking day to day. And so, simple example of that is looking at the way that companies sell smartphones, right? They could sell their smartphone by emphasizing gigabytes of RAM, how fast the visual processor is, how much it is capable of this, this, and that, right? You can emphasize 1,000 technologies that are under the hood, but the way that they market to consumers is, look what this can do. It can take pretty pictures. It helps you keep in touch with Nana, right? It helps you book that Uber, right? Because that is the language that the customer speaks. They're not worried about how many gigaflops are under the hood. You figure that out. That's what you're hired for, right? What I want to know is, if I give you $1,500 for this phone, will it take the best selfies possible, right? So in that same vein, when you're thinking about, connecting with your customers, you want to, or when you're thinking about sort of aligning your messaging across your teams and connecting with your customers and up-leveling that, make sure that you step in and really look at the ways that all the teams are speaking to the customer, and then help translate marketing speak to customer speak, sales speak to customer speak, right? Let's look at the tech features and the tech stack, and then let's look at the results and the outcome for the customers that are using it, right? It's capable of X, Y, or Z. What does that mean for you? You save time on this process, right? You save money in this way. And so that, I think, is the most important thing, is when stepping in to an organization and trying to align all the messaging. Let me understand how each team speaks to the customer. Let's help refine all the things and then get on the same page about what matters to the customer and how we should be thinking internally.
You find it a common syndrome for things to get distorted because leadership doesn't understand the clear purpose of their product or their service in customer terms, how the customer relates it.
Yeah, I think having the voice of the customer is so important. And that's why, especially as like a solopreneur, entrepreneur, you know, small business, it is so important to survey your customers, read the comments on social and respond to them. You know, make sure that you socialize any customer emails that come in with everybody else that's involved in your team so they also can hear the customer's voice. You have to be the sort of the one that evangelizes that.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. Evangelizing the customer voice and customer advocate. I try to do that for the listener as best I can here and there and think about listeners there. What do they want to get from Luis here? What can he offer to help them? Because we're all trying to get more sales. So for the solopreneur, and it's just them in the business, but maybe they're working from some outdated mental models on business development. How would you suggest they start to self-analyze their own business, their own behaviors, their own customers?
Yeah, gosh, when is the last time you stepped away from a screen and had a face-to-face interaction with a customer? Meaning, are you plugged into your chamber of commerce? Are you planning to attend any conferences? Right. I think there's no substitute for that sort of face-to-face interaction and relationship building. There is just magic that comes from sharing the same space. And we can certainly build a business virtually, but then it becomes this sometimes whack-a-mole of, let me see your calendar link. No, let's reschedule over here. No, let's do this over there, right? I think that if you're just sharing space and rubbing shoulders with someone, you know, you can't get away from making magic together. And so that would be my advice, is like, have a moment of reflection. When is the last time you spent time with the customer, speaking to them face to face? And then the other thing is, look at, you know, look at what's under the hood, and really for yourself, be clear about whether you have a sales process. Meaning, do you have a way of finding folks in person, online, etc.? Do you have a way of really containing a conversation, an exploratory conversation with them, where you feel confident asking all the questions that you need to really help quarterback that relationship all the way to a successful activation, right? Oftentimes when I talk to solopreneurs and we're looking at like, what is the problem under the hood? Well, you know, I've got these deals in play, that deal in play, that deal in play. I haven't heard from that person. That person told me they get back to me, but then I haven't heard back, et cetera, et cetera. Great. Who else is involved? Who else do we need to hit up? Who else is the influencer in this deal? Oh, I don't know because I never asked. Okay, great. So let's look at your sales process. Up front, we need to look at the way that you conduct these exploratory conversations so that you have everything that you need to quarterback a deal to success. Then we need to look at the way that you communicate your messaging and your value and associate and attribute the pricing. So I'm looking at a proposal, I'm looking at a checkout page, or however it is that you introduce that. And then we're looking at, after the swipe of a card or after the entering of information on this checkout page, what happens then to ensure that the customer is set up for success? Are they clear about what they're getting, how they're getting it, when they're getting it? Are they clear about who to turn to when they've got questions or when they need support, right? Is it clear how they can assess for themselves whether this is working or not, right? All of those things need to be spelled out in that process. And I think that oftentimes we overlook that as being part of the sales process, right? And then take a look at your back-end systems, right? The tools, the subscriptions, and all those things as a solopreneur should be designed to make it very easy for you to do things like getting contract signatures, like scheduling calls, and the onboarding and everything else that you need for customer success. And so just have a moment of, hey, either learn the things you need to learn, hire someone to implement the things you don't want to learn, right? Sure. But make sure that those things are all set up for you. And that is the way that I like to think about, when I look at an entrepreneur, solopreneur, it's like, where do I start to up level or help this person really increase their revenues and untap their full potential? I look at containing these things. Like, let's just take a moment of like, you have what you need. Are you taking care of yourself, personal, and sort of all the board of advisors? Great. Next, do we have, a product that works? Great. Next, do we have a sales process in place? Let's get the kinks out. Do we have the ops in place? Get the kinks out.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, having the ops in place, having the sales process, having the service process, having a clear definition of success. So there's both the ability to future pace the prospect into what they can expect to experience and an evidence procedure along the way. So maybe you can set up some short-term goals so there's a fast experience of success to build the motivation through the process. And before we started recording, we talked about your experience as a LinkedIn learning instructor. First of all, can you explain just the concept of that to our audience?
So I work with a publisher and we collaborate on the creation and production of online learning experiences. Some of them have been distributed on LinkedIn Learning. And so I now offer, at the time of this recording, two courses on LinkedIn Learning that are one is on sales and personalization using video, and the other one is on developing a revenue enablement strategy for your business. And so that has been an amazing journey. It's been so wonderful connecting with tens of thousands of students and all the stories that I get around, the sort of aha moments, the light bulbs, and the acceleration of performance on their end.
Love that. And as we also discussed before we started, I think for a lot of us, myself included, there's maybe a gap in our offerings where, consulting coaching time is fairly expensive. Then we can write like some ebooks. So I'm actually working on a book too, but those very low cost. But there's a gap in between of something like an online course might fill at a certain price point for somebody to get deeper engagement than they could from an ebook or a book without paying the high consulting or coaching fees. Have you found that for yourself in your business to do the job for you?
Absolutely. I have a library of on-demand trainings for those individuals who either don't have the scheduling or the budget to work with me directly. And basically, I put all of my secret sauce in the bottle on the shelf for sale. And in some of my programs, I also offer coaching. So you are able to connect with me via video and get feedback on any of the things that you might be stuck on as you're progressing in the training. And that's been a way for me to develop a connection with my students, but also a way of developing my roster for my coaching business as well.
That makes sense. And I think a lot of people would benefit from that because you can have the greatest course in the world, but there's not a high percentage of people are self-motivated enough to self-guide themselves in this high distraction environment we all find ourselves in these days.
Absolutely. I
I
use a tool called Video Ask. And what I do is within my programs that I offer coaching, I embed it. It's an interactive video where you can click a button to record a response to me, either written, audio, or video. And what I'd like to do is invite people to consider just talking it out with me. Right. And what I want for them is to consider their own customer experiences rather than driving everyone to an inbox, via email and that sort of typical customer experience. Why not be able to get on camera or a microphone, say what you got to say, and get that kind of energy in return? That also strikes confidence, right? When you're trying to cut through the noise and the AI and all the things, to just have and offer that sort of human touch. That also accelerates, performance and revenues.
So, for those listeners who might be thinking, I need to do something like that, what are the components that make a good on-demand course or online course?
Yeah, there needs to be a recognition that people don't want to spend too much time learning. They want results as quickly as possible. And so there needs to be this element of like done for you-ness, like give me the template, give me the GPT prompt, give me the, done for you things that I can quickly implement, and then just give me the instructions for how I should be using them, how I know they're working for me, et cetera, right? And so I offer a series of trainings around sales and revenue enablement. And so rather than spending my time giving you the theory of like this bone connected to that bone, because because, statistics, show that this, and that. It's like, no, do this, click and copy paste that, and implement this over the next 30 days. Go. Right. And so I really meet people where they are in terms of like their limited capacity for attention. They want quick, short, punchy videos and trainings and things, and their appetite for results done for you. Here's the blueprint. Here's the action plan, the checklist, the template.
What types of media are involved in these online courses? You mentioned video and checklist.
Yeah.
What would be a part of that?
Yeah, and so it can include a range of videos, audio if people prefer to learn that way, transcripts and transcribing all the trainings if people just prefer to read them, and then thinking about the tools are PDFs, Google Docs, GPT prompts, thinking even about some of the levers that I offer. There's video elements of interactive video and surveys and things like that that I include. And so what I try to do is create modern learning experiences for modern selling and modern revenue enablement. And the process of teaching and offering these sort of workshops in this way, I also want to inspire people to think about their customer experiences or think about how they design their products as well.
That's excellent. So, if you could change the business world in any way you wanted and it took no effort, how would things be different?
Oh, gosh, that is a loaded question. I'm like, I want to make so many things better, but it ultimately comes down to I want to get away from selling. I think that customers don't want to be sold to. People have an aversion to selling. I think that when we leverage content and messaging and all the sort of tools in the right ways, I actually, instead of building a team of sellers, would rather build a team of coaches and consultants, people who step in, engage with customers, acknowledge that they have researched all the things, GPT the things, Google the things, YouTube the things. They're coming to the conversation with greater awareness of what's possible, what's doable, what exists in the marketplace. And just what they need is that human touch and that assurance that they are in the right place at the right time, spending the right dime. And so I would like for their experiences to be up-leveled in that way, and for people to have really respectful engagement, really human-centered touches. That would be the way that I'd like to drive business, is really up-leveling customer experiences. I am, as I'm speaking, reflecting on the hospitality industry and just thinking about the differences in the level of customer service across different geographic regions. And I think that there is a massive opportunity for customer experiences to be up-leveled in North America compared to other places globally. And so that is what I would love to see is, for us to be leaders in customer service experiences.
I love that. And and from a certain point of view, all this media we create, all these interactions that we have with an audience of prospective customers is a service that we provide to empower them to make smarter decisions or to get more value or to see things in a different light that helps them. And the more we look at it that way, heard it described, this is a long time ago, back when telephone selling was more of a thing before the internet. And it was an NLP telephone training program said, this is not selling, this is creating a buying environment. Because people don't want to be sold, but people love to make buying decisions. So our job is to create an environment for them to most optimally make a buying decision.
Yes,
And that was a
exactly.
nice
Help them
reframe,
up.
I thought, on that experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is that's exactly what I strive for in the ways that I show up, the ways that I speak, teach, consult, coach. It's all in that vein. I am ultimately thinking about that customer and client experience, and making sure that all things are aligned in their outcomes.
That's awesome. This has been great, Luis. And we usually wrap these episodes up in two key ways. So I have two kinds of questions for you. First is, knowing what you know about our listener, entrepreneur, solopreneur, somebody engaged in online influence, maybe a marketer, a writer, what are the top three things that you would recommend they do that they could start doing right away from your perspective to make them better? First question. Second question, somebody's listening to this thinking they want to reach out to you, how would they find you?
I appreciate both of those questions. And so to answer the first one, three things that I would focus on. First and foremost is your wellness. It is so important to put your oxygen mask on first. And so if you don't already do this, think about what the first 2 hours of your day look like. It doesn't have to be chaos. It can be calm. It doesn't have to be stressful, right? It could be productive and healthy. And so if you are spending your days putting out the fires for everybody else, where does the time come in for you? And sometimes that comes first thing in the day while everybody else is sleeping. And so I would invite you to first and foremost, think about how you spend the first 2 hours of your day. Second thing is get with your customers, listen to them. Right? Like even the ones that you served, even the ones that you haven't, just really listen to what is going on in their world. Where are they losing sleep? Because we're living through some really precarious times. And a lot of business decisions are being influenced by external anxiety. And some decisions are taking longer to make because people just need more time to talk things out. So be that person that holds space. And then the third thing is think about how you up-level the quality of your mind. You need to introduce new ideas into your brain so that you have up-leveled outcomes. And so think about the voices you let in, the words that you read, and think about sourcing quality inputs for your brain so that you can up-level the results, because what you think becomes your action and your actions turn into your results.
Love it. And how would somebody find you or your work?
I'm hanging out on LinkedIn, so you can certainly find me there. But you can also check out everything that I've got to offer at learnfromluis.com.
Fantastic. And to the listener, if you're listening on an app, I will link to these things on the episode page on thoughtleadershipstudio.com, and the link to that's in the episode description. If you're already on that page, you already know this because you're looking at these things. Luis, this has been great. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate you.
Thought Leadership Studio.
Thanks again for tuning in to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm your host, Chris McNeil, strategic thought leadership coach, consultant, creator of the thought process of strategic thought leadership, and author of the upcoming book, Strategic Thought Leadership. And this has been episode 100, Strategic Revenue Alignment with Luis Baez, how to scale sustainably by centering the customer, aligning teams, and leading with integrity. In this episode, we explored Luis's pivot from leading sales at Tesla and LinkedIn to purpose-driven consulting, how aligning messaging with real customer language accelerates growth, the dangers of scaling dysfunction, and how diagnosis prevents it, and its framework for sequencing products, sales, ops, and marketing with clarity. So to dive deeper into this, if you're listening on an app, make sure you visit the episode page at thoughtleadershipstudio.com. It is linked in the description for a curated transcript, links to Luis's work, and key takeaways. And to get early access to the new, upcoming Strategic Thought Leadership resource site with lessons, frameworks, and a glossary of STL principles, go to strategicthoughtleadership.com and get the free preview of the upcoming book, Strategic Thought Leadership. You'll get an early notice, so it's your invitation to lead with greater clarity, purpose, and influence. And if you found value in this conversation, Share it with someone in your network, maybe a founder, consultant, or emerging thought leader. Be sure to subscribe and leave a quick review to help bring more empowering conversations to you. Until next time, I'm Chris McNeil. Thanks again for listening to Thought Leadership Studio.
Thought Leadership Studio.